Welcome to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's Indoor Air Plus podcast series. This episode is being recorded at the Energy and Environmental Building Alliance Conference and Expo in Denver, Colorado. The Indoor Air Plus team has the privilege of speaking with CR Hero today from Meritage Homes to talk about selling the value of indoor air quality with Indoor Air Plus.
Hi, my name is Nick Hurst with ICF International, and I'm here today with CR Hero of Meritage Homes, and we're at the Energy and Environmental Building Alliance Conference and Expo here in Denver, Colorado. Every one of Meritage Homes divisions is an Indoor Air Plus partner now, and Meritage has recently been building with Indoor Air Plus and some of their key markets too. CR has taken some time out of his schedule here to sit down with us and discuss how Meritage uses the Indoor Air Plus program to showcase improved indoor air quality features for their homes. So, CR, thanks for being here.
Nice to be here, Nick.
Can you give us just a little bit of insight into Meritage's approach and your focus on indoor air quality and the reasons why this is important to the company?
Yeah, our approach to indoor air quality funnels up into what we see from our average consumer, which is, as a home builder, consumers have a lot of choices. And those choices are designed around location, price, and features. And when you look at the location, price point, and the features you need in a home, you will find 40 homes that meet those fundamental needs. And what we've learned is we need to start exceeding that fundamental requirements and start inspiring consumers into a better quality of life, a better built home, better features. And the Indoor Air Plus program really gives us both a better way to build to improve people's health, and validation through the US EPA program and that certification to demonstrate to an average consumer that they can have more than just good enough.
That's great. I'm sure it's probably challenging to some degree building across multiple climate zones as a large production builder. What challenges have you seen in kind of implementing the program specifications, and what opportunities are out there as well?
The good news is it's 80-20. All the innovation strategies tend to be reduce problems and then enhance opportunities. And so around indoor air quality, you want to reduce uncontrolled gain of pollution, dust, dirt, pollen, things that can cause people problems. You don't want to build homes with things that are going to off-gas VOCs and any other odors or moisture or other problems. And then you have to do small. So that's 80% is going to be standard coast to coast. We do have some challenges. We build in Houston, we build in Orlando, where even just bringing in ventilation air can present comfort problems because you're also bringing in humidity with that ventilation air. And so we've had to work in partnership with our trades and our product manufacturers to handle humidity in really low-load homes, because a normal home has an air conditioner that's running all the time and it's dehumidifying while it's running. A well-built home, so if you're building into Indoor Air Plus, chances are you're building to Energy Star or a very good energy efficiency program, and so you got really low loads to handle humidity. And so we found that when we ventilate, we actually worked with a company called April Air to develop a inline dehumidifier with that ventilation, so the air we bring in is dry, filtered, and fresh, so that the house has an opportunity to dry out after construction. But through the rest of its life, the air it gets is controlled instead of coming in through leaks, bringing in pollutants, but also bringing in humidity that can cause comfort issues.
Yeah, and that's great that there's some innovative approaches you guys are using for that.
Well, and that's what's been interesting is building a tight envelope is the right thing to do for indoor quality, for comfort, and for reduced operating costs, but you have to do it in the right way. And the right way is you still need to bring in fresh air, and you need to bring in tempered fresh air. It needs to be filtered. It needs to be distributed so you don't have hot spots and cold spots. And in humid climates, it needs to be dehumidified.
Sure. One other thing we've been hearing from builders who are new to Indoor Air Plus maybe is they're unsure where to find low-emission products that comply. What types of materials have you found to use to meet the requirements of the Indoor Air Plus program in Section 6, that low-emission materials section, and why do you feel it's important to put effort into those, in finding those materials?
Right. I haven't had that struggle. Quite honestly, whenever I build a home, I put it in within the scope of works, the requirements. And, 10 years ago, they might have been difficult to source green-labeled carpets and low VOC paints and low VOC adhesives. But today, you go to Home Depot, and every product you're looking for has a low VOC alternative. And so, you know, whether you're building a custom home or a production builder building 8,000 homes like me, I've yet to get pushback from a trade saying they can't source that and they're not cost effective. The you know, a low VOC paint or a low VOC carpet has become common enough in the marketplace that we're not paying a premium. We're just choosing the better product in the marketplace. And that goes to the first part of your question, why do we do it? Because it's the right thing to do. We got into indoor air quality because we wanted to build a home for the customer that was going to live in the home. And indoor air is become linked with both quality construction, but most importantly, a big value differentiator in health and in comfort for the people that are going to live in the homes and the people that are going to decide which of the good enough homes that are out there that they're going to choose to buy. And so we've really decided to choose the products and align ourselves with the program in order to promote that higher quality of life, in order to differentiate our products. But honestly, you know, if you think about it, what home would you build for somebody you cared about? And I you know, not to be sappy, it really does come down to that. My design principles for 8,000 homes a year are the same as what house would I build for my grandma, right? It's got to be simple, it's got to be easy, it's got to be cost effective, and it's got to make her life better. And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, and it seems that you know have taken a substantial amount of time to really get things right on the front end, you know, on the design end, on the specifications end, to really push that out to your trades, which is, you know, probably an important message for all builders. You know, another thing that has just happened with the release of revision 3 of the specifications is a little bit more clarification in section 6 in the low emission material section on what products, you know, are compliant, and an additional resource guide that's linked right to the specifications that allows builders a little bit more insight into those standards and some links to where to go to find them as well.
Right, and that makes compliance really simple. You can set clear expectations with your trades up front, because you're right, it's a little bit of work up front to be clear on what your expectations are and what the materials that need to be sourced to build the home should be. But honestly, it solves me all sorts of callback issues on the back end. I don't get comfort complaints. I don't get, hey, I have a strange odor complaint. I get customers that have their expectations exceeded, which buys me a lot of goodwill. So if there's a crack in my grout, they call me up and they recognize I built a really good home and they're a lot more tolerant than if they didn't have those benefits and they haven't already appreciated that we were dedicated to improving their quality of life. Now it becomes more contentious warranty issue. And so that little bit of effort up front buys me a whole lot of goodwill on the back end that more than pays for itself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Sure. Turning to sales a little bit, you do a lot of training for your sales agents around the country and travel quite a bit.
Which is scary, isn't it?
Maybe.
Letting your engineer get in front of your salespeople.
Well, you recently participated in a mini pilot of the Indoor Air Plus Sales Training Kit, which is going to be released very soon. What are some of the key messages that you try to convey, or the techniques that you use to mentor your sales staff in particular?
And it's ironic. We really started doing this wrong. So 6 years ago when we started implementing these standards, we tried to train our salespeople around features. Look, it's MERV, and MERV stands for Minimum Efficiency Rating Value, and this is what it does, and here's pollen capture rate. And it put our salespeople to sleep, and they were afraid of it, intimidated by it, and they certainly couldn't communicate it to a customer. And if they could, the customer didn't care anyway. And so we really, through doing it wrong, had to evolve our messaging to be about benefit-based, about creating opportunities for consumers to be inspired to live better. And ironically, then you guys come out with this great sales training program that says, hey, don't talk about the features, talk about these great benefits of comfort and you know, having your kid live healthier and how we can reduce incidence of asthma or the materials that can exacerbate problems with asthma or allergies, and 1 in 5 adults have airborne allergies. And so there was a really nice convergence in the program and what we'd learned the hard way into helping our consumers be inspired through our sales force to be aware that the air quality matters in the quality of life, and they can have significantly better trust and quality of life by just making a simple decision and asking any builder that they're going to live in to build to these standards. And they don't even have to understand the full length of the standard. They just need to look for the label. That certification gives them the confidence that it's backed through best practices and very comprehensive best practices, so their little girl feels better. So it becomes this really simple message about taking care of families. And that training package is really written for salespeople to make that add-on of, you know, you're going to be demonstrating the house, you're going to be inspiring people to want to live in this house. Why not help inspire them to make a good decision about taking care of their family while they live in that house as well? So I really have liked that program, and it really dovetails well into the hard lessons we've learned over the last 6 years.
That's great. Well, you obviously have a passion for, you know, communicating those principles and values to your sales staff.
Only
and,
because I've done it wrong for so damn long.
And that's not a problem. But, CR, we really appreciate you taking a little bit of time to sit down with us today and talk about Meritage Homes and your approach to communicating that value of indoor air quality. For those of you listening, be sure to check out the other podcasts on the Indoor Air Plus website, as well as Revision 3 of the construction specifications, which are now available. And, of course, be sure to check out Indoor Air Plus on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at EPAIA+. Thanks again for listening.